I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. And if you don't recognize my face, now you get to see it. So, especially those people online, thank you for joining us. The sermon today, since it's the first Sunday of the month, and we have a custom here preaching about what our theme is. So I'll be talking about the gospel. And in this case, we'll be talking about Paul and the gospel. And I just pray that the sermon I'll be giving you will be uplifting to you and also get you to think about some of the things that you as a Christian need to do. Now, we should all, as Christians, know that one of the greatest evidences of Jesus that we have is what has been done with the gospel. The gospel that he has given us as far as a Christian is concerned. The greatest example of a person in this case that was changed 180% would be that of Saul of Tarsus, and later known as Paul. Now we find in the book of Acts that Saul was probably the most fiercest and zealous person or enemy of the early church. We can go back to the beginning of the early church and find that Saul, as a young man, witnessed the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr that died because he was a Christian. And we find that he approved this stoning. Now let's look at Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And it says, "Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul." And then we also go to the next verse in Acts 8, verse 1, and it says, "And Saul approved of his execution." So here is a young man, Paul, saw what was happening to Stephen, and he approved of it. He thought it was right. He thought that God would approve of this also. And again, remember, Paul was very zealous. In other words, he would do anything he could to make sure his job was done. And he didn't hold back. And then we can go to Acts 9. Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might then bring them bound to Jerusalem." So here we have Saul, obviously an older person at this point in time, and he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Again, he thought what he was doing was right in God's eyes. He thought that by doing these things, he would be pleasing God. But then, and also he asked for the letters of from the high priest to the synagogues at Damascus so that he could bring proof that, yes, it was okay for me to gather up Christians here, if there were any, and take them back, bind them, and then take them back to Jerusalem and to do who knows what to them. And we have to remember the way here is talking about the church, talking about Jesus. But then we find in the very next verse of Acts 9, verse 3, and then continuing through 6, that Paul's life changed completely. Let's look at Acts 9, verses 3 through 6, and it says, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." So can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in Saul's shoes at this time? Here he was, a persecutor of Christians, and then all of a sudden, this bright light shines, blinds him. He falls to his knees. And then he hears that voice. He can't see the person because he's blinded, but he hears that voice and who says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he cries out, "Lord, who are you?" And then Jesus responds, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So he's hearing the voice of somebody that was crucified on the cross and died there. And he's hearing this voice crying out to him. He can't see him, but something happens. And then Jesus says, "But rise, enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." Now, being blind, he had to be led into the city. And then he was supposed to meet there. Ananias was to meet him when he entered the city. And God had told Ananias, "Meet Saul and heal his blindness." Well, Ananias was a little drawn back on this because he knew what Saul had done to Christians in Jerusalem. And so he was a little hesitant, but God told him that, "No, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So Ananias did meet him. He did heal his blindness. And he sat down and talked to him, telling him about Jesus and the gospel. And later he baptized Paul. Still, I'm sure he's still called Saul at that point in time, but baptized him. And from that point on, until the day he died, he was a zealot, not against Christians. He was just the opposite. He was a zealot now for the rest of his life to spread the gospel. A 180-degree turn. Paul saw in himself the changes that the gospel of Jesus Christ had on him. That he could make a wicked and rebellious life like the one that he had been living and just turn it completely around. Paul also saw what the gospel was doing for others and to others. When Paul went to Corinth, we find in Acts 18, he came to a city that was full of idolatry and immorality. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Here, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the things that they cannot do if they want to go to heaven, if they want to enter the kingdom of God. So let's read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." So here Paul is reminding them of what he had told them earlier about who will not be able to enter the kingdom of God, who will not make it to heaven. But then he said, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So there were some that he was able to turn them away from their idols, away from the immorality that they were living, and to follow God, to follow Jesus. We know that the spreading of the gospel was very important to Paul. From Paul's past experiences in his own life and the lives of those that who were baptized through his preaching, he was led to write the following about his faith toward the gospel. And Bill read it this morning, Romans 1, verse 16. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So again, the gospel was for everyone, not just the Jew. It was for everyone. And we know from our own experiences that the gospel has a power that can change our lives. Paul saw it in his experiences. He saw the gospel was reaching the hearts of many through Paul's preaching, Jews and Gentiles alike. They left their sinful life and gave themselves to the Lord. The question is, would we make the same statement today that we're not ashamed of the gospel? And I'm sure all of you in here that are Christians would make that statement. But, word of warning, saying it with our mouths and showing what we believe about the gospel in our actions are two different things. We may say that we're not ashamed of the gospel, but in reality, not show it with our actions. So yeah, we can say we believe that the gospel is true, and we can say that we're not ashamed of it. But again, our actions can tell the true story if we cannot follow the commands of God and Jesus. And in a way, we are definitely ashamed of the gospel when we sin. So how did Paul show that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel? First, he believed that the gospel was capable of doing. He believed in it. He believed that it was powerful and could change lives. We have already looked at examples of this in Paul's own conversion and also in the conversions of many of the Corinthians. And we could read a lot further and look at other different churches that he had set up in his travels, that he had converted, that he had taught the gospel to them and they were baptized. We know that Paul showed his faith in the gospel by sharing the message with those, or who knows how many people, thousands and thousands. Just before Paul had made the statement that we read from Romans 1:16, we find that he made another statement in the two verses previous to 1:16. So let's look at Romans 1:14 and 15. Romans 1:14 through 15, it says, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So here Paul is telling us he was under obligation to preach the gospel. And we'll talk a little more about that later in the sermon. But he was eager to preach the gospel to anyone and everyone. Paul showed his faith and the gospel by preaching. He wanted to come to Rome so that he could see the gospel at work. He wanted to come to Rome so he could see people being converted into Jesus Christ and be baptized. Just the thought of preaching excited him. He loved doing it. He loved working for God and for Jesus. He looked forward to the opportunities that the Lord gave him. Another question is, are we the same kind of person? Do we look forward to all the opportunities that God can give us to share the gospel? We all need to grow in our desires to share the gospel and grow in doing the work of the Lord. You know, we're supposed to let as Christians, let our light shine. Letting people see God and Jesus in us through our actions and our deeds. If we are hiding our light, then we are not being useful at all to the Lord. We are showing shame to the gospel by not doing God's will. You know, Jesus gave the apostles the Great Commission. And if you remember, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you." So, who does this apply to? Did it just apply to the apostles? Well, that's not going to work too well because they died many, many, many years ago. Who is going to be sharing the gospel then? We as Christians are the ones that should be sharing the gospel. So this is not just for the apostles' work. It was for everyone. We cannot let fear get in the way of sharing the gospel. We cannot be afraid of what people may say, how they may act. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Here Paul is talking to Timothy. And Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So it seems here that Timothy had some fear that was keeping him from using the works or the gifts that God had given him. And Paul continues the same thought in the next verse, verse 8, which says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So Paul was telling him, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And we even find one instance that I can think of in 1 Corinthians 2:3, where Paul was a little afraid. And that's when he went to Corinth. We talked about that earlier. And maybe it had something to do with, knowing the idolatry that was going on, the immorality that was going on there in Corinth. But he says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." So he was scared. But he got through it. Because in Acts 18, 9 through 10, God talked to him. So let's look at Acts 18, 9 through 10, and it says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people.'" So Paul received this encouragement from God to continue preaching, and he did. We as Christians have the duty to spread the gospel. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the elder's job. It's all Christians' job to do that whenever you can. We cannot be afraid. I've already mentioned this. We cannot be afraid of what people might say or how they will react. We need to do it knowing that we are not ashamed of the gospel. So we need to be like Paul. We can't be exactly like him, obviously. But we need to be like him, have that same spirit, have that same excitement, to take every opportunity we can, when those opportunities arise, to share the gospel with others. Jesus expects it. God expects it. We should all expect that of ourselves. Thank you for your attention. At this time, we offer the invitation to those that have not accepted Jesus as their Savior and would like to put him on as their Savior in baptism. And we also welcome for any Christian that needs to come forward for prayers. If you need to come forward for any reason, please stand and do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.